You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Alexandra Watkins. Alexandra is a recognized expert on brand names with buzz. She's the founder and chief executive boss lady of Eat My Words, a boutique firm that specializes in creating brand names that make people smile instead of scratch their head. Her name hall of fame includes Burger King's Mac and Cheetos, the Nido Robotic Vacuum, Spoon Me Frozen Yogurt, the Church of Cupcakes, a Spanish language school named Gringo Lingo, and a San Francisco nail salon named Handjob. Alexandra is the author of the newly revised creativity book, Hello, My Name is Awesome, How to Create Brand Names That Stick. Awesome was named a top 10 marketing book by Inc., and most recently, a top 10 branding book by the Branding Journal. This week, her book was shortlisted for a 2019 OWL Outstanding Works of Literature Award in the sales and marketing category. Alexandra lives in San Diego in a pink Barbie dream house. She has commandeered the pool house as her office and can be found chained to her desk, which is shaped like a purple Easter egg. Alexandra, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you, Nick. Can I just have you go around and introduce me everywhere I go?
I am available for professional introductions. I will be anyone's Ed McMahon should the occasion arise.
I also want you to record my voicemail message. I love you. You're great.
Well, thank you. And I love the vivid picture you painted for all of our listeners of you right now on this podcast in this pink Barbie dream house at a desk shaped like an Easter egg in a pool house office. I'm just sitting in a regular old home office in the burbs here, but you have... You can tell you're in this in that word business there.
I try to keep it interesting.
So it's interesting. Speaking of interesting, you know, we talk so much. I actually just had a conversation this morning with a client, and we were kind of joking about, oh, your name is, or your brand is so much more than your logo. And a lot of times that's one touch point that we kind of over-index on is what that logo looks like. But the brand name, I would make a case, is a different animal, because that is something that people are saying, that is referred to, that's what people are sharing. Talk about the power that the brand name has.
Sure. And that's a great point. And if people stop to think about it, think about your own personal name. How many times has somebody said your name or written your name or seen your name on a name badge in the course of your lifetime? It's incalculable. The same goes for a brand name. No investment you make in your business will get used more than your name, right? We see it, we say it, we use it ourselves. It's on signs, name badges, it's on our social media, it's everywhere we are. Your logo can change and evolve over the life of your brand, but your name will always stay the same. So a name is very powerful. And of course, to create a logo and a brand identity, it starts with the name.
It does. And I, you know, I think you, like you said, it's what people are going to see. It's what they're going to say. And that has a tremendous level of impact. And yet, you know, you talk a lot about the curse of knowledge, which is always excited when someone thinks of this, because I think that that's something we all suffer from. Talk a bit about the curse of knowledge for folks that may have heard this term and might not exactly remember what it is and the role that it plays in naming with clarity.
Okay, well, your listeners might be familiar with the curse of knowledge from the same book that I read about it in when I first learned of it, which is my favorite business book, Made to Stick, Why Some Ideas Survive and Others Die by Dan and Chip Heath. And the curse of knowledge is simply, it's described as a cognitive basis in which better informed people find it extremely difficult to think about problems from the perspective of lesser informed people. So in other words, when we know something, it becomes hard for us to imagine not knowing it. And the best way to illustrate this is think about buying something and trying to read the instructions and figure it out. Well, the instructions have been written by people that already know how to use whatever product it is. And this was, you know, back in the early days of cell phones, especially with flip phones, trying to figure out things, we would just try, like, we don't even know what this is saying. And that's because it was written by an engineer. A lot of times names are created by engineers or people that get so caught up in what it means to them, they forget that nobody else knows what it means. So a perfect example of this is it was a company and it was spelled X-O-B-N-I. And I'll let you and your listeners think about that for a second. Write it down, X-O-B-N-I.
I just did write it down.
Okay, what does it mean? How do you pronounce it? And even if, what does it mean and how do you pronounce it? It's Zobny. And believe it or not, it was originally pronounced Zobny, but Bill Gates pronounced it Zobny. So the company changed the pronunciation of its own name because Bill Gates pronounced it Zobny. Okay, so now we know it's pronounced Zobny. What does Zobny do?
I could take an educated guess at the name. There's not a piece of the brand name in there that means anything to me. So what does it do?
Well, if you were in a car and you looked in your rearview mirror and you saw X-O-B-N-I on the license plate of the car behind you, you would see it in reverse. And in reverse, Zobny spells inbox. So it's inbox spelled backwards. Now, humans do not intuitively spell things backwards. If I said, Nick, spell your full name backwards right now, it's hard for us to do. We don't think that way. I have a namer friend who's dyslexic, and he has the gift of being able to see things backwards. And he's great at making up words because of that. But we don't know that Zobny is inbox spelled backwards. And look, they're not there to explain it to us. So that's the thing about the curse of knowledge. You might know, but when somebody comes in contact with your name, whether they just see it on a website or somebody's talking about it, or they see it on your name badge, well, if they see it on your name badge, you're going to be there. But let's say it shows up on your caller ID, for those of us that still have caller ID. What does it mean? You're not there to tell people. So it's really important that you remember no one is going to be there to explain it, and people don't have the patience to go to your website, read your about page, and figure it out.
You know, there's so many key potholes that we end up falling into, from the curse of knowledge to what we assume someone will know. And boy, something as simple as reading backwards. Now, in hindsight, once you know it, it's like, oh, well, maybe. But boy, that's a hard, it's again an easy trap to fall into. So if you want to do it the other way, the right way, that accounts for what people do bring to the table when they are first exposed to a brand name, where's the smart place to start?
Well, the smart place to start is actually figuring out what not to do. because that's going to save us a whole lot of hurt later on. So we know with Zobni, you know, you want your name to be easy to spell, easy to pronounce, and easy to understand. Those are three key things. What you do want your name to do, I have an acronym for this. I have a long acronym. It's called the SMILE. It's called SMILE and Scratch. And the SMILE and Scratch test is based on my philosophy that a name should make you smile instead of scratch your head. And if it does make you scratch your head, like Zobni does, scratch it off the list. So SMILE, these are the five qualities that you want to have in your name. You want it to be suggestive. What does you want your name to suggest or hint at something about what your brand is or does? Has to suggest a positive brand experience. The M in SMILE stands for memorable. You want people to be able to remember your name and recall it later from their brain's dusty filing cabinet. How do you do that? You have a name that's based on something familiar. Zobni is not based on anything familiar. If you were at a networking event and you met Lucinda from LeapFrog, you might, as most of us do, forget Lucinda's or anybody else's name you meet 3 seconds after you meet them. LeapFrog will stick in your mind because you already have an association with it. It's familiar to you because of the childhood game. So you know LeapFrog, easier to remember that way. The I in SMILE stands for imagery. If your name is associated with a picture, it's also easier to recall it later in your brain. So, for instance, the name Rent the Runway. Now, that's a very long name, and I always tell people it's better to have a long name that people can remember than a short name that they can't. So, if Rent the Runway was simply called RTR, that doesn't mean anything. There's nothing visual, but Rent the Runway, especially for women, they can picture that. The L in SMILE stands for legs. Legs is really important. Legs is simply if your name lends itself to a theme. We once named a PR firm, and the publicist's name is Lynette Hoy. Her name said nothing about her personality or public relations, and we named her company Fire Talker PR because she's a fiery woman, and her tagline is hot on the press. She calls herself the fire chief. She works in the firehouse. She offers packages like controlled burn. And when she goes to an event where she's speaking, she brings a, I don't think a boombox anymore, but she plugs in her computer and a little speaker, and she cranks up Fire by the Ohio Players, gets everybody on their feet, right? You know, you go to those networking events and people are like, okay, let's all stand up. And you're like, oh God. But, you know, playing a song like Fire, now, hey, that's unexpected. So that's what I mean by a name with legs. And then finally, the most important letter in SMILE is E, and that stands for emotional connection. You want your name to resonate with people. Again, going back to being memorable, because if it makes that connection, it's going to be easier for them to remember it later. You can tell if your name resonates with somebody just by saying it to them and looking on their face. If they smile, and I can hear you smiling in your voice, if they smile, that's good. If they look at you or they're looking at the name like they're trying to decipher hieroglyphics, not so much.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the 7 dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard with 2 A's .com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So tell me about the scratch side of that.
All righty. Well, scratch. These are the 7 deal breakers. You have to scratch it if it has any of them. This isn't like, oh, 2 out of 3. No, no, no. Any. And trust me, you will thank me later. I know, because I speak to enough people who are frustrated with their current name and they need a new name. So the first one is spelling challenge. That's the S in Scratch. We talked about that with Zobni. Don't try to, the biggest mistake I see people making is with spelling, trying to get an available domain name by spelling their name creatively. Creatively spelled K-R- 8, you know,
drop some of the vowels. Yeah,
exactly. Yes, I blame Flickr for all of that. But, you know, tackle with 2 K's. And one of the worst ones, every year my company, Eat My Words, for the longest time, gave a Head Scratcher of the Year award to the worst name of the year. And we're a little nicer now. But one, Zobni was their first winner. The second winner was a company named Species. And Species, which is a horrible name for anything, they made organic baby clothing, which is strange. And naming your baby Species is just bizarre. But here's how it was spelled. S-P-E-E-S-E-E-S. Now, can you imagine if you were Stacy from Species and every day you were making sales calls and having to give out your email address? That's S-T-A-C, you know, E-Y, oh yeah, Stacy with an E. Like, you know, Species spelling it out. Now, why did Species spell their name that way? Well, I know why they spelled it, because they wanted that available domain name. But if you had gone on the Species website before they said bye-bye baby, this is what it said. Species is spelled that way because that's how babies would spell Species, if babies could spell. Really? People, don't make up stuff like that. Come on, we can see right through it. So that's the S. And by the way, if your name looks like a typo, scratch it off the list. That's the easiest thing to remember. Write that down and have it in front of you, and don't go there. There's ways around it with, you know, .com domain name modifiers. The first C in Scratch stands for copycat. You don't want your name to look like somebody else's. A name that's copycatted constantly is the frozen yogurt store Pinkberry has lots of copycats, you know, Blissberry, Yoberry, even Red Mango is a color and a fruit. So don't be a copycat. You look unoriginal. You open yourself up to trademark infringement. The R in Scratch stands for restrictive. That's when you lock yourself in. There's a company in Canada called Canadian Tire. They sell way more than tires. They sell toys and trampolines and tools and tropical plants and a whole lot of terrific stuff, much more than starts with a T. But they've been around for more than 100 years. They outgrew their name. And everybody in Canada knows what Canadian Tire sells now, sure. But what if Canadian Tire wanted to roll into the U.S.? They would have to spend a whole lot of money on an ad campaign explaining to people, we sell more than tires. So that's the R. The A in Scratch stands for annoying. Annoying, case in point, Zobni. Look, don't be cute with your name. Don't put letters in it. Spell it backwards or make it something that's so forced together. Or lazy. Lazy, adding an A to the end of your name or an IA to the end of your name. You know, one, you know, Lernia, you know, that's weak. Then the T in Scratch stands for tame. You don't want your name to be tame because your name needs to stand out. Don't be tame. Don't be descriptive. Don't be shy. Just put it out there. Unless you have millions of dollars for an ad campaign, you cannot afford to be tame. And the second C in Scratch stands for the curse of not. Did I do my letters wrong? S-C-T. Yeah, sorry. I have spelling dyslexia sometimes on the smile and scratch test. We talked about curse of knowledge. And finally, the H in Scratch stands for hard to pronounce. You want your name to be approachable. Think of your name like a welcome mat. If your name is hard to pronounce, it's not friendly and approachable. Nobody wants to embarrass themselves by butchering the pronunciation of your name. Think of a time you have been in a restaurant. For me, it would be a French restaurant where I absolutely cannot pronounce something that looks good on the menu. So I either don't order it or I point to it. Because unlike Chinese restaurants that have numbers on the menu, French restaurants don't. So don't make your customers squirm trying to pronounce your name.
You know, I think that's such a great system, and you can tell, again, you being in the naming business, even your system has an effective name, and it resonates, and it paints a vivid picture with the imagery of smiling instead of scratching your head. You talked about your lists of some of the not-so-great brand names. I want to do a bit of a lightning round of what are your... You know, top five best names and worst names.
Okay. Well, I'm going to choose names that... I'm going to choose my top five names. These are my top five personal names. Well, first of all, Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavors. Who doesn't love those, right? Liz Lemon, Chunky yeah. Monkey, Cherry Garcia. Those are fun. Those make us smile. Another name I love is a line of hair care products called Bedhead. We've all gotten out of bed, if we have hair, with messy hair, bad hair day, Bedhead. It's a great name. It's lyrical. It's short. It fits on a license plate. It makes us smile. Another name I love is a sponge, which is weird, right? But it's called Scrub Daddy, and it's a Shark Tank product. And I think one of the reasons that name got funded is the sponge has a little smiley face in it, and it's fun to say, Scrub Daddy. Another name that I love that your listeners might be familiar with is another Shark Tank product. Shark Tank people often have really creative names, and this is... It's adhesive wax that you put on your eyeglasses on the bridge so they don't slide down your face. And it's called Nerd Wax. Like, how infectious and fun. And I can't see you, Nick, but I know you're smiling. Because you wear glasses, right?
Indeed. You hit the nail on the head. Anybody who knows about the fun of nose bridges and all those other things, it speaks vivid volumes to the audience you're trying to reach.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's one of those names, like I saw it one time and I'll never forget it. And those are the names we remember, right? You see it once, those are the ones I say we tweet and repeat. Another name that I've always loved is Yelp. It's the perfect name. And look how long they've been around. It says exactly what they are about.
You know, that's a great one. And plus it ticks all of those boxes. It says so much. Okay, so you mentioned Flickr earlier. That's always my go-to on, I think it set the trend for, hey, we can get the domain if we just drop that second to last, usually a vowel sitting there. So instead of an ER, we've got just an R, Flickr, Tracker, all these different things. Or like you said, tackle with two Ks. But what are some other Zobni-esque offenders out there in your opinion?
I'm going to give you examples that kind of each illustrate a little point in my book. One is I talked about annoying names being forced. Here's an example of a forced name. This was a professional women's organization. Now, ladies, I want you to think about this. Would you want this name to appear as a professional organization you were a member of on your LinkedIn profile or your resume? And the name is Femfessionals. Really? Femfessionals? It sounds like a feminine hygiene product or, you know, where you go to confess your sins at the Femfessional. So that tries too hard. another one is I talked about lazy names. So adding the word Vana to your name. Look, Nirvana, beautiful word. Do not bastardize it. I've seen, you know, Homevana, Tivana, Purvana. I was looking out my window sitting here in the pool house at my purple Easter egg shaped desk one day when I was writing my book last year, and I thought, I need another Vanna name. So I'm looking out the window. I'm like, what else? I bet anything has a name with Vanna. So I looked out the window and I saw our barbecue grill, and I typed in Grill Vanna, and boom, there it was on Amazon. Yep. So that's like, it's lazy. And that's when we get back to the copycat names, right? Like Spotify is a name that's been copycatted with other people doing the IFY. Another name that I think is terrible, don't get me started. I know we only have a short amount of time.
No.
There's a lingerie company named Third Love. What does Third Love mean? Now, I ask this question all the time when I'm going out doing speaking engagements. The most common responses I get are that Third Love means something about a menage a trois or a third nipple. Nope. Right? We know it's a lingerie company. I went to their website, and in a blog post, their co-founder actually said, we like that the name Third Love is ambiguous. What? I mean, come on, Nick. You know nothing about your brand should be ambiguous.
That seems like they're retconning a clunky naming choice there.
Yes. And the other one in that category, sorry, of like what is the WTF category is the chain of gyms called Orange Theory.
Yeah.
I mean, how did they possibly squeeze the name of a gym out of something that sounds like a pretentious juice bar? Doesn't Orange Theory sound like a pretentious juice bar?
I could see that, and that is again, you see these, you drive by them, and they are head scratchers, to say the least. Well, Alexandra, believe it or not, we've spent all of this time talking about smiles, scratches, naming, and we are at the point in the podcast where I ask you for a brand that has made you, got to quickly qualify this, lowercase smile in the traditional sense, but it may be one that makes you acronym smile as well. Who knows?
I do have that name. And I am still smiling. I first read about it in Parade magazine. Jimmy Buffett, who you know is the famous singer-songwriter, known for Margaritaville and his cult following of parrot heads and his laid-back lifestyle, he lent his name to a 55-plus retirement community that's starting to have many locations across the United States, and that is called Latitude Margaritaville. Now, who wouldn't want to retire in Latitude Margaritaville? But wait, it's way better than that. This is a name with legs. The street names, Tiki Terrace, Flip Flop Court, Lost Salt Shaker Way. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want the return address labels from Retirementville to say Tiki Terrace? And the pet resort is called the Barcaritaville Spa, and the business center, but their business center is called the Coconut Telegraph. Hey, babe, I'll be right back. I'm going off to the Coconut Telegraph. I mean, I love this name. It's the legs. And you go to their Facebook page, and it's these happy homeowners posing next to this signpost with all of these street signs on it, holding up their little thing. We just bought a home at Latitude Margaritaville. That is a great brand. That I will smile forever about that name.
Well, it's much better than Peaceful Memories or
Shady Acres.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's where you don't maybe want to go. So, well, speaking of places that you want to go, Alexandra, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
You can go to our super fun website, eatmywords.com. On our site, there is a free interactive smile and scratch test, so you can run any name through there. Just look for where it says how strong is your brand name. Take the test. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn at Alexandra Watkins. And I would love to hear from anyone. I this has been a fun interview, and there's so much more to learn in my book. Hello, My Name is Awesome, How to Create Brand Names That Stick. There's a whole chapter on domain names that I think can also help people learn a lot about what to do, and even more importantly, what not to do, how to avoid those potholes, which I love that analogy. They are potholes.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Alexandra, thanks for being on brand with us.
My pleasure, Nick. Thank you.
And if you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. For more on me, including how you can sign up for my email newsletter, please visit nickwestergaard.com. That's Westergaard with two A's. Ah, I've got a spelling problem. My brand name is maybe not as smile-worthy as it should be. But hey, I was born with it. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.